Dear Cheap Astronomy, will the first moon base be anything like Artemis? Andy Weir, author of The Martian, has since written Artemis, a tale about a lunar colony, which has prompted people to start thinking about how the first moon base might operate. The smelting of anorthite to extract aluminium or aluminum is key to the colony's success and to the novel's plot. Anorthite smelting gives you metal for building and oxygen to let you live in the buildings that you build. Although surprisingly in Artemis, people live in 100% oxygen at 20% of atmospheric pressure. In reality, long-term exposure to 100% oxygen is not really good for you, and it's unlikely anyone could light a cigar in that environment, which happens in the book, without it exploding into flame. It's also not clear where all the water comes from. It is made clear that water is a scarce commodity that's carefully recycled, but that's about all that we're told. The aluminium smelting requires a huge amount of energy, which is drawn from nuclear generators. Apparently, you can't manage it with just solar panels. So it's perhaps optimistic to have set the story of Artemis about 60 years in the future, which requires us to not only get back to the moon, but also to build two working nuclear reactors on it. These are apparently fission reactors, and hence our existing technology, but actually building them will be challenging. Nonetheless, Mr. Weir is spot on that if you want a lunar colony, you will need an energy source, and going nuclear may be the best option. There's nowhere on the moon's surface where you'll get uninterrupted sunlight, even near the poles, unless perhaps you build a big tower on a hill. With a nuclear reactor, you can set up your colony anywhere you want. Anyhow, Andy Weir was spot on that you need an energy plan and you need an oxygen plan. Cheap Astronomy will also suggest that you probably want to dilute the oxygen to about 21% with an inert gas like nitrogen and pump up the air pressure to about 1 atmosphere. The nitrogen should be easy to manage. It's light and compressible and, being chemically inert, none of it is really going to be consumed, so you just need to ship a certain volume to the moon and then keep it there. Water is more problematic. It is recyclable, but humans are like water sponges. And the more humans you have, the more water reserves you need to keep their inputs and their outputs balanced. And that's yet another argument for a polar base, since the poles may be where you'll find the most water on the moon, lying within permanently shadowed craters. As to what might drive us to build the first moon base, Andy Weir really nailed it. It'll be tourism. In Artemis, the aluminium smelting isn't done for the purpose of sending aluminium exports back to Earth. Earth already has vast reserves as it is. The smelting on the moon is just to generate building material for the base and to get the oxygen. Indeed, once the base is built, it's pretty much just about the oxygen. But putting all the technology to one side, Artemis is a service-based economy, where people, that is, staff, are there to support the various service industries that tourism depends on. The guided tours, the restaurants, the hotels, and the gift shops. Even if there was something worth mining for export from the moon, you still wouldn't need a colony. You'd just do it with robots and telepresence, which is pretty much how it's done in the Artemis story. But if you want your skinny half cap and a Lox bagel with extra cream cheese, you're going to need a human service provider. And if you want human service providers, you're going to need a colony. If we do want a lunar colony within 60 years, it's really now when we should be making the decisions about the energy plan, the oxygen plan, and where the water's going to come from. The Artemis approach is bold and requires huge upfront investment. So, given how humans tend to work, it's more likely we'll get there in little incremental steps. First, we need to do some robotic landings at the poles to confirm if there really is water in abundance there. If there is, you're good to go with solar panels, which can power the electrolysis of water into molecular hydrogen and oxygen. But if there's not much water there, maybe we need to start planning for how we're going to divert some icy comets to crash on the far side. And that is what we really need, a plan.